I'm going to invite you tonight to turn to the book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges, chapter 2. Last Sunday evening, we began a brief series on this subject, living by principle. Living by principle. Now, just bear with me. Normally, I have slides that I'm not looking at, that I'm looking at, but I am... Our system has got a little bit of a hiccup to it that I can't see the slides, and so that's being maintained by someone else, and so it always makes me pause just a little bit looking for a slide that isn't there. I can't see it on the screen. So if I do that, I'm not having some kind of a mental moment there. I'm just getting used to this new way of doing it. Living by principle. And I believe that one of the reasons that our society is suffering so badly is because we have stopped living by principle. And I want to just go through some thoughts from last week's message. And I know this sounds self-serving, and I don't mean for it to, but if you did not see last Sunday evening's message, please do go to our YouTube channel, Fellowship Baptist Withville, and look that up and watch that, because there's some foundational stuff there that you're going to need to get the fullness out of this message that God has for us. So please do check that out. Two reasons that I'm not bringing this series. I'm not bringing this series so I can conform people to my way of thinking. I don't have an agenda in that regard. I'm also not seeking to justify all of my decisions, because that's what preachers can do sometimes. If we're not careful, we can just do pretty much whatever we want and then say, well, it's the principle of the matter. That's not at all what we're trying to do with this series. The purpose of this series is to help people rightly divide God's word, that they might have the ability to apply individual truths in such a way as to discern answers, adopt guidelines, and build boundaries where they need them. Life is an endless series of decisions, and there's just some things that the Bible does not explicitly tell you what or what not to do. As we talk about principles, we're going to approach it from several perspectives. Last week, we talked about the anatomy of a principle, and I'll give you some review on that in just a minute. Lord willing, next week, we'll talk about the assembly of a principle, and we might even get in a little bit into the application of principles. But last week, we talked about the anatomy of a principle, the anatomy of a principle. We took that out of Matthew 23 was our main passage that we used. We talked about a principle distinguished. It's important to understand there is a difference between a principle and a precept. See, there's two ways that the Word of God speaks to us. It speaks to us in principle, or it speaks to us in precept. A precept is when God's Word explicitly teaches us, thou shalt or thou shalt not. There's no room for debate there. God's Word clearly identifies something as right or wrong, something to be embraced, something to be avoided, something to do, something to not do. That's a precept, okay? Other words that are used for this concept is statute, ordinance, and commandment. Commandment and precept are the ones most frequently used. But then, for those times in the Bible that there is no specific precept, we have principles. Principles. So we want to make sure that we distinguish between a principle and a precept. So that's a principle distinguished, then a principle defined. How did we define a principle? A principle is two or more precepts that are joined together to help guide a Christian in a decision or way of life. Two or more precepts joined together to help guide a Christian in a decision or way of life. And then we went on to a principle deconstructed. Sometimes a little reverse engineering helps us to see what a principle might be made of. We start with the sweet fruit. When a principle is well executed and does what it's supposed to do, we see the sweet fruit of that. But then we move backwards and we see that it had a spirit-filled formation. A spirit-filled formation. It was properly built in the way that God wanted it to be built, and it was built upon a solid foundation, which always must be the Word of God. Listen, when you form principles in your life to help guide you through this life, they must be built on the foundation of the Word of God. So, we saw a principle, when it comes to principles, we saw that, first of all, it had to be distinguished from a precept. A principle defined, a principle deconstructed, and then we finished off with a principle demonstrated. To kind of sum up what we were talking about last week, I illustrated a principle that I have in my own life and why I have that principle. And we talked about the way that I interact with ladies when I counsel them and so forth. And I've taken several precepts and put them one on top of the other and formed a principle that helps guide me in my life, helps keep me clean, helps keep me where I ought to be. Like I said, next week, Lord willing, we'll get into the thoughts of a principle assembled, an assembly of a principle, and then the application of principles either next week or the week after. But for tonight, out of the book of Judges, I want to speak to you on the absence of principles. The absence of principles. Once again, a principle is two or more precepts joined together to help guide a Christian in a decision or a way of life. And so we ask ourselves, what happens when a person, or more broadly, a society, fails to live by right principles? And when you look to the time of the judges, you see a pretty stark demonstration of what happens when there's an absence of principles. So let's ask God's help and we'll get into it. Lord God, please do help me to preach this and to teach this in the way that most pleases you. God, would you have your will and way and speak to us tonight, I pray. Lord, help me to embody in my own life principles that are pleasing to you, and help me to be able to teach your people how they can do the same, or continue to do the same. And may Christ be lifted up in this time. For it's in his name we ask these things. Amen and amen. I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler alert. If you want to see what happens when principles are absent, just cut on the news. Just cut on the news. Pretty much anything you hear on the news these days is indicative of an absence of principles. You see it in the streets. You see it in the halls of Washington, D.C. You see it in the halls in Richmond. You see it in governor's offices. You see it at times in the White House and in the Supreme Court. You see it in police departments. You see it in homes. You see it in courtrooms. We are seeing the results of the absence of principles. So let's look at just kind of see just a bird's eye view of this subject. Judges chapter 2, verse number 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you to the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. It came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto the children of all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. They called the name of that place Bochim. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mountain of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gosh. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. The absence of principles. I want you to notice, first of all, precepts are disobeyed. Precepts are disobeyed. Now remember, a precept is a clear command from Scripture, thou shalt or thou shalt not, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what you should embrace, what you should avoid. The children of Israel, in the first five verses of Judges chapter 2, had disobeyed God's precepts. If you look at verse number 2, you see that God issued two basic commands. As you go into the promised land, number one, do not make leagues with the inhabitants. Do not make leagues with the inhabitants. Number two, you are to throw down their altars. You are not to associate with them and embrace their culture, and you are to destroy their false religion. And we see, sadly, in these first five verses, that the children of Israel disobeyed both of those precepts. When you abandon precepts, when you abandon the simplicity of just doing what the Bible says to do and not doing what it says not to do, when you abandon that, there is nothing left with which to build any principles. I can't build a house without materials. If you're gonna build a house that's brick, you gotta have bricks. If you're gonna build a house that's wood, you gotta have wood. My soul, if you're gonna build an igloo, you gotta have ice. You can't build something out of nothing. And when you abandon the basic, simple precepts of God's Word, you have nothing with which to build principles in your life. If we can't get a handle on the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots, we'll never form life principles. Well, I'll tell you, Andy, here's what I want to do. I just want to form principles that help me to get through life and to really benefit and put a lot of money in the bank and have my kids grow up and be successful and you know, my marriage is a happy one. I want these principles in place. That's great. But if you can't do the basics of what the Bible says to do, you'll never form those principles. Oh, Pastor, I don't understand why my marriage is in trouble. And yet I haven't seen him in church in months. It's a precept to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. One of the first questions that I ask somebody is, how is your time with God? How much time are you spending with God? Or more accurately, what kind of quality time are you spending with God in His Word? What are you doing in the matter of your prayer life? What are you doing in the matter of telling other people about Christ? What are you doing in the matter of worshiping with the saints? What are you doing in the basic precepts of the Christian life? Because if you can't find it in you to obey these basic precepts, you will never get to the other stuff. And I know that's unpopular preaching these days, but listen, if we can't do the simple stuff, how are we going to expect God to build our lives with great principles if we have no precepts with which to build them? God told the Israelites, if you will just go in there and not make leagues with the people that inhabit the land, if you will go in there and throw down their altars, I'm going to bless you. And God's people couldn't even do that. Precepts were disobeyed. The foundations of their principles were disobeyed. And the psalmist rightly asks in Psalm 11, if the foundations be destroyed, it doesn't say what might the righteous do. It doesn't say what will the righteous do. It says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so we begin with precepts being disobeyed. And when precepts begin to be disobeyed, even if they're very simple, even if they seem to be not that relevant, and by the way, that's never our call to make. If God says it's relevant, it's relevant. But if precepts are disobeyed, then immediately it goes to the next step, a precarious direction. A precarious direction. Look at verse 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. Now listen to this. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. In this, the people have shown their personal deficiencies. We're going to see about God's people here that they only obey the Lord when they're under the supervision of stronger believers. And when you reach a place in your life that you are only doing what is right because everybody around you is doing what is right, because those in authority over you insist upon you doing what is right, when that is your motivation for keeping the precepts of God, then you have embarked on a very precarious direction. When your attitudes, when your conduct is influenced by other people or the right circumstances and not personal principle, your ultimate direction is on very precarious footing. I've pastored for 14 years, not as long as many pastors I know, but I've seen some things in 14 years. And let me tell you what I've seen over and over and over and over. I have seen Christians that live seemingly in the right way, and then as soon as the circumstances don't make it easy to do so, as soon as they get out from under the watchful eye of a stronger believer or a believer with some authority over them, as soon as they get out from under that, they show their precarious direction. Let me give you an example. And I don't have anybody in particular in mind, but this analogy, I've seen it over and over again in every church I've ever been in. Some family has a sainted grandfather, or a sainted grandmother, or a sainted mother, or a sainted father, and every Sunday the family gathers at church, and that's what you do, is you gather at church with that precious grandparent, with that precious parent, and as soon as God pulls that loved one to heaven, those folks disappear. They were never going to church because of a matter of principle. They were going to church because that's what they did to make that person happy. Now here's the question we've got to ask ourselves. Am I doing what's right because I am committed to the precepts of God's word and I am committed to the principles that I have formed from God's word, or am I doing this because it makes somebody else happy? Or am I doing this because it's easy to do? I've got 1,000 illustrations running through my head, but I don't think I need to use them. I think the Holy Spirit has got this one. Can I give you a thought? A principle that gives way due to lack of influence or agreeable circumstances was never a principle. It's only a preference. Let me tell you something, friend. You can build your life on biblical principles, but you cannot build your life on preferences. The ideal scenario is when a person does right because of inner biblical principle, regardless of what anybody else is doing. We are in a time right now like never before in our country. And there are some decisions that we make, and everybody applauds it, and everybody says, that's great, that's for the public good. But we are moving into a time period in our nation's history, and even in the history of this commonwealth, in which we're going to have to start making decisions not based upon what is politically expedient or publicly acceptable. We're going to have to start making decisions based upon what's right, what lines up with biblical precept and principle. And when we do that, it is very likely that all those people that said, well done, fellowship, well done, Granite, people will be like, whoa, what do you think you're doing? What's driving us? Principle or expediency? Because if it's expediency, if it's like these people, as soon as Joshua and those who lived alongside Joshua go out of the way and they fall out of their principles, that's a very precarious direction. So we see the precepts are disobeyed, and that moves to a precarious direction. And then that gives way to poor decisions. Poor decisions. Look at verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, and on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. Verse 13, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. The fall of precepts and principles that put them on a perilous direction led to, in a precarious direction rather, led to an immediate condition of poor decisions. When you abandon precepts and abandon principles, poor decisions are coming immediately. Immediately. Now, we must stop and on a little bit of a sidebar and say this. The elders that outlived Joshua bore some responsibility for this. It says that these people did right as long as Joshua was alive and the elders that outlived him. It's apparent that they failed to teach their precepts and their principles to the next generation. Friend, whether you're a parent, whether you're in some kind of leadership in a ministry, whatever the case may be, let me make this very clear. Do as I say, not as I do. Not only doesn't work, it's wrong. We have a responsibility to teach the next generation. I have a responsibility not just to make sure that Claire and Asher have what they need to be spiritually successful. I need to teach them with their children in mind. Because what I pour into my kids is what they're going to pour into their kids if Jesus doesn't come back first. At Granite Christian Academy, it is not our prime responsibility to make sure all these kids get good grades so they can get into good colleges. I'm all for them getting good grades, and I'm all for them getting into good colleges and doing whatever the Lord has for them to do. But that is not our prime responsibility. Our prime responsibility is to do what these parents are paying us to do, and that is to pour the Word of God into these kids' lives. To teach them precept and principle. And if we fail to do that, then we are putting these kids in a perilous direction, precarious direction, and it's going to lead to poor decisions. How many bad decisions by this generation are the result of our failure to pass our principles along? I was at Walmart just yesterday, and I saw a young person. She's a good bit older now, but she was in our youth group not long after we got here. We had a very loose connection with her. Her family didn't go to church here, and we invested in her, and we really felt like we were making some progress. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, she just disappeared. And we tried to reach out and make connections, and we never did get her back. I saw her at Walmart. She didn't see me. She looked right at me and apparently didn't recognize me. It wasn't at all I don't want to talk to this guy. I'm going to act like, I really do think she didn't know who I was. But I recognized her. And the immediate thought that came to my mind is, I wonder if we failed her. Did we do everything we could? Now, as I meditate on that, I think we did. But you know what? We need to take responsibility and understand that God brings people into our lives and we're to do our very best to reach them for Him. And if we don't do our best, we bear at least in part some responsibility for the decisions the next generation makes. These poor decisions, how could the people of God go from the stories of Moses and the Red Sea and all the miracles to serving Baal and Ashtaroth. Listen to this closely. There is no limit to how far away from God we can get if we abandon our biblical precepts and principles. If we abandon them, there's no limit how far we can go. I reference this often. Paul, arguably the greatest Christian to ever walk the planet, said in Romans 7, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Jeremiah said of the heart in Jeremiah 17:9, "It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Poor decisions come. You see, we're talking about the absence of principles. It starts when precepts are disobeyed, and it puts us in a precarious direction. It leads to poor decisions, and then it ultimately finds itself where we are as a nation right now. Popular decay. Popular decay. We see this happening fairly early in the book of Judges, in the time of the Judges. Where does it lead? When precepts are disobeyed and precarious directions are embarked upon and poor decisions are made, where does it lead? Go to Judges chapter 17. You see this twice. You see this in Judges 17. You see this in Judges 21. Same statement is made twice. It's the theme verse, sadly, of the book of Judges. Judges chapter 17, verse number 6. "In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Israel was at a low point spiritually. And everybody thought they were doing right, but it was not at all based on precept. It was not all based on principle. It was based on what was right in their own eyes. When precepts and principles are absent in a society, it is only a matter of time before extreme conditions are reached. Popular decay. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and that's why they're setting buildings on fire. That's why they're pulling statues over. There are some in this crowd that really do believe they're doing right. By the way, when you're tempted to hate these folks, remember, do not be surprised when sinners sin. The vast majority of these people do not have the Holy Spirit in their lives to guide them and direct them. They are doing what comes natural to the flesh. Why are we seeing the rioting and the violence and the looting and all of that? I'll tell you why. Because precepts and principles are absent, and the extreme conditions are coming to the front. Our nation is desperately in need of God's people to be men and women of principle. But let me tell you what's happened. I understand that ultimately everybody is answerable to God for their decisions. I understand that. But right now, all over America, and I'm sure this is true worldwide, but it's especially true of America, there's an entire generation of people that have little or nothing to do with God because they sat in pews and churches and they heard preference. They heard pulpiteering. They saw production, but they were never taught the real, honest-to-goodness precepts and principles of God's Word. The preacher told them everything he wanted them to do. Don't question it. You just do what I say. God will bless you for it. Because God blesses people that follow the man of God. But then when their lives came crashing down, nobody had any answers. Worse still, nobody had any time. Because there were no principles to fall back on. And there were no principles because precepts had been set to the side. And now we are reaping the fruit of an entire generation that we didn't take the time to teach precepts and principles. And now they're absent. Our nation desperately needs godly men and women to advance the precepts and principles of God's Word. You say, Andy, that's all fine and good. How do we form a principle? That's what, Lord willing, we'll talk about next week. What goes into making a biblical principle? And then how do we apply it? It's my hope, my prayer that these messages will be a help and that we'll be able to put them to work immediately to help us get back to where we need to be. If you'd like to get some answers, talk to somebody, get some help, get some prayer, whatever, please do call us. There's a number that's going to be on your screen. Please do reach out to us, and we'd love to minister to you in any way we can. If you don't know for sure you're saved, I want you to know something. We're all sinners, every one of us. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we're all sinners. God's righteous, He's holy, He won't tolerate sin. If He tolerates sin, He's not holy. Sin has to be judged. And it was. It was judged in His Son, Jesus Christ. He took our sins, mine and yours, and put them on Jesus and judged Him on the cross at Calvary. Jesus suffered and died in our place. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again. And if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, you'll be saved. If you've never done that, would you please, please let us show you through the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. It'd be our honor. It'd be our honor. Thank you for joining us. Please do keep in touch with us. Check out our website, gofbc.com. Catch up with these messages that have been preached on our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel. We'd love to hear from you. And if we can be a blessing to you, please let us know, okay? Jesus may come back before the next service. Maranatha, our Lord cometh. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But until then, may God grant us strength and grace and help. Lord, we do thank You for our time and Your Word. I pray that You'd apply it and use it for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.